Our next speaker is Dr. Stanislav Samborski. Correct me if I pronounce wrong. He got his PhD in 2003 from Warsaw Agricultural University in Poland. He has a teaching appointment and is teaching in several courses: crop production, standardization of agricultural products, precision agriculture, and even computer extension service. He does a lot of research involving the precision ag pioneer leaders in Poland, the use of sensors and diagnostic methods to evaluate winter wheat, nitrogen and sulfur status, and even the use of electrical conductivity, soil fertility, yield maps, and remotely sensed image. Today, he's going to talk about improving optical sensor calibration for winter wheat nitrogen management in on-farm conditions. Doctors.
Thank you, Brenda, for such a kind introduction. Before I go into my the methodology of my our research and the results, I will just give you a little bit of background. Wheat is the number one crop in European Union and in Poland. Poland is the fifth largest producer of wheat in Europe. Most of the wheat is grown in rain-fed conditions, so we don't use any irrigation. Nitrogen is usually applied in 2 to 3 rates to increase the nitrogen use efficiency. But if we go into nitrogen use efficiency, at least in our experiments, it doesn't go up and up to 50-60%. So there is still a need to improve it. The active optical sensors are not commonly used in Poland. They are being offered by a few companies. Should I use a mic? As I said before, the active optical sensors are not commonly used in Poland. They are being offered by a few companies, but if you go to the farmers with them and offer them, they are not very much convinced about the benefits of these sensors. They usually ask more questions and they do not get so many answers. And the study I'm going to present to you was initiated by the farmers. Actually, one day, a few years ago, I came across a question from a crop advisor who is responsible for the wheat production on that farm, if it's easy to find the place to calibrate the sensor. And I said, that's easy. That's being said in the manuals. Just choose a representative sample, a trendline, and go ahead. And after that, I thought to myself, oh, I was wrong. Probably it's not so easy. So I started to think about doing a study when we can estimate the influence of the choice of calibration sample on the amount of nitrogen actually applied. I'm going to present three different parts. The first one will be results from our 7-year study, then some preliminary results from last few years, and just a short information on the current research project, Fertisa. Why do we use the calibration? Because we have to convert the vegetation indices values into nitrogen rates. And the sensor has to familiarize with the actual current crop status of the field. And usually we choose an average field crop vigor area to calibrate the sensor. In my talk, I will use mostly the term trendline as a reference plot or strip, reference strip. So something like that early in the season and the beginning of elongation stage, and then when the flag leaf is visible. If we go into the recommendations given by the companies and look at the operator's manuals, we may see such suggestions to calibrate the sensors. They are pretty much the same. All of them, they use the term, use an area of an average biomass, use an area where the plants show an average amount of vigor and growth, use a representative trendline, or use an average area of the field
to calibrate the sensor. And in practice, the dry press approach is most often used by the growers. How this is done at the farm level, crop sensor calibrations, usually they are based on visual observations of the farmers. But ideally, the reference should include the full range of nitrogen status from adequate to deficient plants. And usually it's being done quite fast due to workload or sometimes to bad weather conditions, when the farmer cannot wait for next day or 2 days. It has to be done very quickly. And usually the reference plot is one trend line which stretches the whole field length. And consequently, the nitrogen recommendations based on this reference may be either excessive or insufficient. So sometimes we can apply too much nitrogen, or sometimes we can apply too little nitrogen. But what is important, this is not there's no way to knowing where the N rates are appropriate. We just apply it and we don't know if we are correct or wrong. So the objective of the first study was to estimate the effect of the reference plot of the trendline we choose to calibrate our sensors on the nitrogen rates applied. So we may choose a trendline which goes in this part of the field or that part of the field or lower here. And we wanted to know how the choice of the reference plot of the trend line will affect the nitrogen rate applied. So for this study, we used two locations. One was in the middle of Poland, close to Warsaw, the capital of Poland, and one close to the Baltic Sea. We used five different fields. This is just an example of one field. And what we have done, we measured the AMBER NDVI with two active crop circle sensors at the growth stage 31 to 32, so the beginning of elongation. For each sample strip, each trend line going across the field, and the whole field together, all the trend lines together, we calculated the 95th percentile of NDVI, which we have chosen this level, which is very well known in the literature, the 95th percentile, because we treated this as a non-N-limited nitrogen status. And we then calculated fertilizer rate only for the trend lines of extreme 95th percentile. So when there was a trend line with very low 95th percentile and a very high 95th percentile. We calculated the nitrogen rate from this equation after Holland and Shepherds. Our modification was to calculate the delta sufficiency index in a different way. So since we didn't have any response experiments, we used the lowest AMBER NDVI, and we use the highest AMBER NDVI of a single trend line to calculate the delta sufficiency index. So we get the full range of AMBER NDVI variability. Going into results. This table showed the number of strips with significant differences of between 95th percentile of the single trend line and the 95th percentile of the whole field. So I will just describe the two cases. One here of the field B. So we can say that 8 of the trend lines, or 73% of the trend lines on that within this field were not good for active optical sensor calibration, because they have the 95th percentile significantly different from the whole field 95th percentile. The opposite was here in field E, because just one trend line was showing completely different 95th percentile. So if you want to calibrate your sensor on this in this field, it would be very easy to choose the right spot, the right calibration trend line. What wasn't the case in terms of field B. And then this table shows the effect of the choosing the extreme trend lines with lowest 95th percentile of amber NDVI and highest 95th percentile of NDVI on the nitrogen rate. And if you look at the example of field A in 2010, when we use the, oh, let's say, this is a farmer going to a field, and by mistake he has chosen this spot, this trend line with the lowest 95th percentile of amber NDVI. So he would apply on average 19 kilos per hectare of nitrogen. But if he went to another spot when there was the vigor of the crop was very high and the highest with the highest 95th percentile of NDVI, he would apply almost 52 kilos of nitrogen per hectare. So the differences, depending on the trendline you use for your active optical sensor calibrations, were very high in terms of all fields we have studied. So the conclusions of the study can be that sample strip selection or the trendline selection significantly affected sensor-based nitrogen rates. And we propose to solve this issue, but it wouldn't be so easy in on-farm conditions. First, to register to map the NDVI during pesticide applications. This usually takes place in Poland just like a week before nitrogen application. And after that, if you have the data for the whole field, the NDVI data for the whole field, you can choose the right spot, the right calibration trend line for the active optical sensor. This research has been already published this spring in Crop and Pasture Science journal. And the second part are the results from 2015-2017. Our assumptions were that in European conditions, also in Poland, the nitrogen is not only applied during the stem elongation stage, but also later. And we were interested how we should calibrate the sensor later in the season. And we made an assumption that nitrogen applied during the nitrogen during the stem elongation stage may decrease the vegetation indices variability. And we are also interested if the location of the representative sample strips is or is not stable across the season, or if we can choose one trend line which is representative at GS31 and say this is the one I will use during the season, or we have to use different trend lines. So the objective was to evaluate if the field part with representative sample strips and lowest and the highest vegetation indices used to calculate the delta sufficiency index used for active optical sensor calibration are stable during the vegetation season over three winter wheat fields. In this time, we located our study in one area in Poland close to the Baltic Sea. These are the fields we used in the three seasons. One with very regular shape, where it should be easy to find a trend line to calibrate the sensor. We avoided to use these trend lines at the edges of the fields because they are short and usually affected by some neighboring factors. And we also have fields which were not so shaped, when we have to use two or three neighboring trend lines to calibrate the sensor. We treated three neighboring trend lines as one to calibrate the sensor. This time we used also active optical sensors, but the next generation, the optics by Aglider. And we had data from different growth stages, usually 3 to 5 times a season. Similarly to the previous studies, we calculated the 95th percentile of NDVI or NDRV. And this was, we collected the data during pesticide applications or nitrogen applications. And going into results, these maps show you in red the representative sample strips, the trend lines that should be used for active applicator sensor calibration. So at the beginning of the season, there was just one sample or trend line which didn't have 95th percentile different, significantly different from the whole field 95th percentile. Then in the season, there were more representative sample strips or trend lines at the end of April. And even 5 days later, when we have measured NDVI again, there was a different situation. So different sample strips, different trend lines were good for calibrating of the sensor or the sensors. And the same happened at the end of the season, the end of May, and during the last measurement, end of June, when there was an insecticide application done. And this is an example from the next from this year, a much smaller field on only 22 hectares, and a very unshaped field, so very difficult to find the right spot to calibrate the sensor. At the end of March, we found out that just there was a one sample strip good for active optical sensor calibration. Then a few weeks later, there were two trend lines good for the calibration, but different from the first one. And at the end of May, there was another one, but different from the previous ones done during the previous measurements. We were also wondering about the variability of the vegetation indices within the fields in the seasons. And what we found out that the nugget value was higher than the partial still values. This means that the low and high vegetation indices values often occur next to each other. So that may be a good news, because along one trend line, which we have chosen for active optical sensor calibration, we may find also the lowest NDVI values and the highest NDVI values. To conclude, the location of the representative part of the field for active optical sensor calibration differed significantly during the season, so it kept changing. We cannot use one trend line across the season for the sensor calibrations. Low and high values often appear next to each other. Therefore, using a full range of vegetation indices variability to calculate delta sufficiency index could be possible, and we can set a range of nitrogen rates to be applied over a particular field. And just a short information on our current project. Title is Satellite-Based Service for Variable Rate Nitrogen Application in Cereal Production. It's being funded by the European Space Agency, and we just started this project this spring. The role of our university is to conduct the field experiments with wheat and to look for the relationships between plant nitrogen status and satellite derived vegetation indices. We also want to evaluate the relationships between the NDVI we got from ground-based sensors and the satellite-based vegetation indices. We also expect here some differences because the, as it was in the previous talk, the NDVI is not the same if we derive the values from different sources. We also want to estimate the yield potential of cereals, mostly wheat, because this is the number one winter crop in Poland for various soil and weather conditions. And at the end of the project, we should develop algorithms to calculate the nitrogen requirements. And the final stage should be to offer an internet service for the farmers when they can use the satellite data for variable nitrogen application. The data will come mostly from Sentinel-2 with the spatial resolution of 10 meters and the revisiting time is 5 days. The problem in Poland we faced in this season or also in the previous season is that there's too much clouds in the season. 50-60% of the days when we would like to have the right data, we cannot get the right data because of the cloudiness. There's some take-home messages from my talk. In order to improve the optical sensor calibration for winter wheat nitrogen management in on-farm conditions, we would recommend to carefully choose calibration strip sample or the trend line. It cannot be done at random. The delta sufficiency index values to calculate the nitrogen amount can be calculated from actual amber or NDVI values registered and mapped with active optical sensors. And this method eliminates the need to use any response experiments or zero nitrogen or enriched plots. The farmer should perform a new calibration of the sensors each time he approaches the field and wants to apply nitrogen variably and freely available satellite Sentinel-2 images should be or may be an alternative for active optical sensor measurements. But ground truthing is necessary to for proper calibration of the sensors and interpretation of the satellite images. What I very often come across is that the companies which sell the sensors offer the systems, or some people who started to offer the system to take pictures from drones. They take it very easily. They say if you have a low crop, just apply more nitrogen and the other way around. But we all know that in practice, when we go to the field, like my colleagues here with me, we come across different situations when the reasons, for example, for pale crop or pale green crop is not the same. It's not always nitrogen. It could be too much water, not enough water, or some diseases. So the human sensor has to be very well calibrated to differentiate between the different situations. At the end, I would like to acknowledge the help during the past years from the two management farm, managements of the two farms, from James Wilson, from Scotland, who supported us with the crop cycle sensors. We are almost so thankful for the help from two research projects and the last project, which allowed me to come here and cover my travel expenses. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. You have questions from the audience? Any questions? I have a question on that part where you show this field B having a 73% percentile and the other one having 7% percentile, and you're saying one, the lowest one, is a better choice to do your calibration tram line. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Do you have a threshold, or like what's the lowest, you know, the minimum requirement to say that is a good spot to establish your tram line?
Okay, if I understood you correctly, you are probably talking about this table. Okay, so I wouldn't say that we have a threshold for this. I just wanted to say that in case of this field, which is very uniform and very flat, it would be very easy to choose the calibrations of the tram line, because just 7% of the tram lines had the 95th percentile of Amber GVI significantly different from the whole field 95th percentile of NDVI. And this field here with an undulating topography, the situation was the opposite. Most, or 73% of the tram lines had significantly different situation than the whole field.
Okay.
So if the farmer comes to this field, he will probably make a right choice. Whatever tram line he chooses, that's okay. And if he goes to that field, it's highly probable that he will make a mistake and not to choose the right spot.
Okay, that's taken. Second question I have, and maybe some of you have the same thing in mind, because it's a work in progress right now, trying to relate the satellite images to the ground-based vegetation indices. Do you have a suggestion, or maybe where you at now, and how we can link these two platforms of collecting crop information? Because you know for a fact that, like Dr. Wei Thompson mentioned about the spatial resolution, are quite different when you're looking at different platforms. Do you have an initial work of dealing with this, or an idea?
I think it's too early for us to recommend something. We just started this season, so I think there will be some difficulties to combine these two together. I'm aware of that NDVI or another vegetation indices derived from the winter wheat crop would be different. So it wouldn't be so easy to combine these two approaches.
Okay. All right. So let's give him a hand. Thank you very much.